Welcome back. Welcome back, family. Welcome back, family. It's your boy KP, and I am here with my wife, Mrs. KP. Yeah. Twinning. And we just, if you've been following along, you've seen that we just posted a pod with our wedding coordinator. And we were remiss. We kind of just appeared as a couple one day, and we never actually explained to anybody, like, us. So this came up because I was watching Love is Blind. I'm the one who watches those corny romance stuff in our relationship. But I was watching Love is Blind, and Brett and Tiffany, who I think the internet came together to love and like root for, they got spoilers if you haven't seen the end of Love is Blind. It's been out for a couple days now. But Brett and Tiffany, to no one's surprise, got married. And it had me thinking about how fast things happened on that show. I think from everything I've read, it only takes about, they're about in the pods for about 2 weeks tops, if that. And they're married within 6 weeks. So it led me to think about us and like how we got together. And I figured we should like kind of put it out there for the people. So I want to hear from your perspective. I want to hear like how you and I came together from your perspective.
I think it was lots of divine intervention for sure. I think it was timing. I think it was two people being extremely ready, and two people being in touch with themselves. And when I say that, I mean having done the work intentionally to be ready for adventure. And little did both of us know that adventure was waiting right around the corner, and adventure would sweep us up off of our feet, and adventure would bring us together. You know, in unlikely of unlikely of unlikeliness. And I guess it kind of just went from there. We were honoring ourselves and where we found ourselves when we met each other. And we went with the flow, and the flow is what worked for us. Like, we were really intentional, but we went with the flow of what we were feeling, and we didn't get in our own way. So I think that I can start with that. We didn't get in our own way, and we didn't get into like societal norms of like timeline and how long it takes to connect with somebody. And like, you know, we didn't get into any of that. We just kind of felt and went with what we were feeling and what we knew prior to meeting each other. So that may sound like gobbledygook, whatever, but that's what it was in short.
Well, I was talking to our pastor, the pastor who married us, and I was joking with him that tell God what you don't want and watch what you receive. And I spent my life saying I would never marry a New Yorker. I would never like live in a completely different part of the country from where I grew up. And I was like not like opposed to someone like from the Caribbean, but my experiences hadn't been amazing, so I was not looking for. And you know, I'll start with my part of the story. I was talking to a really good friend one day, and she told me her wedding date had been set. They picked the venue, and it was in November. This was in late July. And in my head, it just triggered a, oh man, I gotta get ready for this. I mean, I gotta get fly, you know. But I also needed a date, right? And I wasn't dating at the time. I was in a season of my life where I was figuring me out. And if there was any time that was perfect for figuring me out, was the pandemic. I had moved to a new apartment. I had major life changes. I had experienced, you know, the trauma of like pandemic life, and multiple people who I knew had passed away. And so I was figuring out what I wanted from the world. I had spent a few years changing. I'd spent a few years growing. I'd spent a few years outgrowing, which I think a lot of people don't acknowledge is outgrowing, and how outgrowing is such a part of growth. There are people who can't come with you for whatever reason. And I had spent some time in the pandemic to myself. I wasn't going to see people. I wasn't hanging out. I was in a space where I had a lot of time with my thoughts. And when this wedding came around, I was thinking to myself, I'm ready to re-enter the world in a way. And I'm ready to open myself up to the possibility of, and here's this, like, this is what was really amazing to me. I'm opening myself up to the possibility of friendship. I was not looking for more than just a friend. I wasn't looking for, like, you know, run down the street and knock it out and come back. All of that was out. You know, I just wanted to experience a friend again. For where I was, I knew that at that point in my life, I had decided that I was trying to be the best man I could be. And for me, that meant putting myself in a place to meet new people and new women. And I believe I did that by going on to online dating. I've been out of the game so long, I didn't know how all this worked. So I did what nerds do, and I Googled it. And I looked up and found Bumble. So we're gonna give a shout out to Bumble, because, you know, if you want to sponsor us, Bumble, we are a story that will gain you more whatever users. But had a horrible experience on Bumble. Had a horrible experience until I didn't. I will say this: women, respect yourself more, please. I had some unfortunate experiences with women who didn't value themselves as much as I valued them, and was in fact quite ready to leave the platform until someone sent me a message that piqued my interest. And all it said was, when you choose the pictures, I'm not a person who takes a lot of pictures. So I did what I do. I chose the most available pictures. And one of them happened to be myself in a linen white suit looking like a member of 112. And someone sent me a message that said, "Hey, nice suit." And I got the context. Text has no tone, but I knew that was sarcasm. And so that intrigued me enough to reach out, and I'll leave it the story now with you.
Yeah, I think, you know, I had a great deal of experience with online romance thing, online dating, whatever. It was not foreign to me, and it was not my first time going that route. So, but it was my first time in a while going down that route. And so when I got on there, I gave myself 7 days, and I said, I'm going to spend this money for 7 days and get the all access, whatever, the all access pass. And so me getting that all access pass really meant that I was going to devote myself for 7 days. And hey, if nothing happened after that 7 days, that's fine. I'm going to go down the matchmaker route. Like, I was prepared to go down the matchmaker route. But I said, let me do this first, and then let me see if I still got the magic with the online. And then that was how I got on there. So I paid for the little access pass. I got on there, and I treated it like it was my job. I was very, very intentional. I used the space very, like, with a keen eye. I honestly said I was going to write my profile in a way like I had never written it before. It's going to be more of myself in the profile. And actually, I'd actually seen your profile, like, I think once or twice before I like whatever the thing, the swiping mechanism is that they use. And I was like, he seems really nice, but I'm scared, like, blah, blah, blah. So I then decided to be brave one day and bold. And I said, okay, let me go ahead and do this. Like, so I like swiped whatever. And then I said, nice suit. Because in fact, I did think that, who's this tall man with these locks and like wearing this white suit? Like, I was just immediately, I was taken with that. And I was like, nice suit. So like, I wasn't trying to be fully sarcastic, but I was like, nice suit. What's good? Nice suit. I didn't know what else to say. And I felt like that was the most obvious thing that I could say, was nice. So I started with that.
So it took me, not very long to reach out. We had a couple conversations, but then you did something that And we're not by any means relationship experts. We know what worked for us. And we know what wouldn't work for us. And I think both of us had reached a point where we were being very honest about our non-negotiables on there. Like for me, it was communication. I was honest. I didn't know what I was looking for. I knew I was looking for a friend. And you did something that was just like, for someone like me, who I try to be so careful that I miss opportunities. And I was ready to like talk to you, but not really like sure if the vibes was right. I knew the conversation was good, you know, but it was just like back and forth, how you doing type of things. And you gave me like, you gave me buying signals. And I don't know if you want to tell them what you said, but I bought. Like, they put the sale sign up and I was like, yeah, I need one of those.
Yeah, I knew that my like 7 days was coming to a place of like maybe, you know, 3 or 2 days left. And I knew like, okay, like things were moving fast in other areas, in the sense that like I had made connections with other people, quote unquote. I had set up dates for later, like in the next week with other people. So I was like, okay. And actually, I do remember seeing that your profile said that you were looking for a friend, you were looking for friendship and companionship. And so I thought, okay, like, let's see. Doesn't say he's looking for a relationship, but I feel like there could be something here. And so what I said was, after we were talking in the app for like, I don't know, like 3 days maybe, I said, I sent him a message and I said, I think you're cute. Here's my number. And then I closed out the app. But before I made that bold, bold statement, which for me was extremely bold because I was never going to do anything like that. I never done anything like that in my life. But I kept getting like nudges to kind of like do this, do that. And like, that was unusual for me. I would never have done that before. But I said, here's my number. And I left my number. And I said to myself, I had wanted to get off of the app and I wanted you to get the signal that I wanted to get off of the app, but I wasn't going to tell you that I wanted to get off the app. So I said, hey, here's my number. I think you're cute. And I said, I said, I'm getting off of the app. I've had enough. Like, one of these things is going to work out. And if it doesn't, I'm going to learn something about myself in the process. I'm going to meet some nice people. And that's it. And so I said it, and I literally put my phone down, not expecting to hear from him at all.
I'm naive. I don't know, or I didn't know that these apps were full of games. I didn't know that, well, I mean, at that point, I was starting to realize that this app was full of games. Again, some of you women need to respect yourselves more. Not going to put nobody out there, but I had seen some things in the week and a half that I had been on the app. And but I did know, I may not be a smart man, but I know if a woman gives you her number and says you're cute, you should call her. So I called you. And I called you pretty quickly after seeing that message, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to play cool. I just thought, look, you know, this seems like a cool vibe. Seems like someone who could be a really good friend at a time when I was looking for a friend. Not to say I was out of friends, not to say I was whatever, but in my period of growth, I realized that one thing we don't really like talk about or acknowledge is that you have friends for different reasons. Like, you got a friend that's just your friend to go to like the movies with, or your friend to like complain about work with. I needed a friend to experience life with. And so I called you because I was looking for that friend. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we both have now looked back on it several times, but we spent probably about 12 hours on the phone that first night and woke up in the morning. Yeah. And woke up in the morning looking for more conversation. And I think we probably spent 12 hours a day on the phone for like the next 4 days.
Yeah.
And never ran out of topics, never ran into problems, never ran into moments where it was awkward silences, never ran into any of it. In fact, we were reaching the point where like, I would go to the gym, tell you I would call you back, and then go to the gym and call you from the machine.
Yes. Let me say this. Now, I know what I just said was I was putting myself out there and took a risk and said, I think you're cute. Here's my number. And even though I did that, I never expected to get a phone call. I was shocked. I was like sitting in my apartment, like lazing around. And then I look down and my phone is ringing and it says your name. And I'm like, oh my gosh, is he calling me? And I kind of sat up straight and I said, oh, answer. And I told myself, answer. And then I answered and I was like, hello. And then you say who you were. And I was like, hey, it's me. I didn't expect you to call me at all.
Maybe I'm just like I said, maybe I was naive about the whole thing. But when you said call, I called because, I mean, that's just who I am. Like, we was already talking. I just assumed that you wanted to continue the conversation. I thought you were cute, too. So let's talk. And it was then that I started to realize, like, after, I don't know, 72 hours of talking in 4 days, that I had already moved past this is my friend into, man, she's like one in a million. And I think here's a fun fact, and it's not bragging. Until this moment in our introduction to each other, in my entire life, I had never asked a woman out. And the very first time I asked a woman out was the woman I married. I said, I'm really enjoying this. I'd love to meet you. Do you drink coffee? Because one of my bad experiences that taught me, like, hey, for some reason, like, that was a nice little quick way to meet someone and not have to put a lot of effort into it. I was trying to give you an out. I was trying to give me an out. Keep it 100. We'd had this great connection on the phone, but I wasn't sure if, like, it was going to carry over. So I tried to give both of us an out. And you said, yeah, I drink coffee. So, like, you know, let's meet for coffee Saturday, noon, midday. You know, we could both walk away at the end of coffee if it's not a good, like, a good match. And then we kept talking. It wasn't like we made a date and then keep talking. I remember calling my dad saying, hey, I put myself back out here. I told him about all the horrible experiences. You know what? I am going to put one person out there. This young lady, and I'm not going to say her name, but you should not call someone and be naked within 30 seconds if you don't know who they are. But, like, maybe I'm old fashioned, maybe I'm not just trying to run through everything, but, like, that was part of the things that was turning me off. I was looking for, like, a woman that respected herself, a woman that had drive, a woman that had goals. And we kept talking after I asked you out, which I was like, I'm proud of myself at this moment. Like, look at, you know, the kid's still in the game. The kid still got it. And we, like, I don't know, the next day after another one of our 12-hour marathons, the words came out of my mouth before I was thinking about it. And I said, you know, I can't wait to meet you. Do you think you might want to go out Friday as well?
Mm-hmm.
And you said yes. And
yeah.
I didn't realize that what I said next would kind of seal the deal. But I said, no, but I still want to go out on Saturday too.
Yeah, it did. I'm remembering it now, like the thing is playing in my head. Because once I heard you say, like, you want to go out tomorrow or you want to go out Friday, I was already preparing myself to be let down. Like, oh man, like, he's about to change the plan. He's about to, like, be inconsistent already, you know? And, like, I was already, like, preparing myself, like, oh, this is going to take an interesting turn. He's already going back on his word. And you said, and then you followed up with exactly that, which my response was yes, like, immediately. Like, I had an immediate response, and I was like, yeah. Then I surprised myself how quickly I said yes. But I was like, yes, of course, I would love to. And I meant that, because it meant to me, like, okay, you're not going back on your word. With your word is all you have, especially when you're meeting somebody new, especially when all you have is, like, you know, almost like 72 hours of talking, like, just talking on the phone. And then you have all of this banter on this, like, you know, dating app. Your word is golden. And at that point, until you meet each other, until we met each other in person, for me, so much of, like, the meta communication and the values and the consistency and the truthfulness and honesty. Like I was clocking everything. I was paying attention to everything you said. And I was listening to see like, okay, is this really him? Is this really him? Is this really him? And also that made me show up as myself even more. So that's how that really happened. Cause once you said that, I was like, oh no, he's gonna like drop the ball and things are going so well. And you didn't. You just raised the bar every single time.
So I remember, I've now stepped out of my comfort zone. I've asked you out on a date twice. And I remember like panicking after the call, like, what are you doing? Like, you just wanted a friend. But now you're in this place where you're seeking romance. Are you ready for this? Because you've just spent a lot of time by yourself. Are you grabbing the first thing that came along because you're lonely? And I had like more deep conversations, and the pandemic was perfect for deep conversations with yourself. Like you weren't going anywhere, even working from home. You have all the time in the world to have like those deep back and forths that people pay money to talk to therapists about. Like I'm in there therapizing myself. That's not a word, but let's rock with it. And I remember calling my dad first and letting them know, hey, I made this date, but I'm still going to blah, blah, blah. And then I did the thing you see on TV. I set up a call for an out, and the weather came in on Friday morning, and it was not just a rainstorm. It was a downpour. It was a downpour to the point where it was flooding. I also didn't realize that you lived not very close to me. In my head, I thought you were like 15 minutes away. You were like almost an hour away in a downpour. And I don't know if you can see these on my face, people, but I have glasses. And so like rain and not being able to see 100% are not, you know, they're not friends. But something told me that I would be missing out if I didn't go. And I gave you, remember, I gave you so many outs, like so many chances to get out of it.
I didn't know that they were outs. I wasn't reading them as outs. I just thought you were being super communicative. They didn't read as you like out as out. I assumed that because the sky opened up and all the rain for all the history was coming down, that you were going to call me and cancel. Like I immediately was like preparing myself for disaster, that you were going to be like, hey, actually the weather is so terrible. Like, this, you know, it's not safe. I was mentally preparing myself for that because like where I lived at, in another state, by the way, the neighboring state, like my apartment could easily be flooded. And so I was like, I don't actually know if this is going to work. Like, cause the sky had opened up. And so it was raining so terribly, thunder, lightning, everything.
And one thing I've never thought about was that we talked all day that day too.
Yeah, we did.
We had our marathon conversation.
We did. We talked all day on and off and everything, like we both were being at work and everything. And I thought, okay, there's no way he can make this because the weather is what it is. And I have to give, you know, not take it personal. It's the weather, you know, you can't control the weather. And so when you called and I was like, oh man, I was really looking forward to going out. In my head, I was like, I was really looking forward to going out. I wanted to get dressed up, da 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 da. And then you're like, okay, so I'm going to be there. I'm going to pick you up at this time. And I was like, oh, okay, great. Then I'll see you. And so I said, oh, well, he's going to get here. He said he's going to get here now. So I'll pray for him to get here safely. And actually, even crazier is that I continue to do things I would never have done, such as.
You gave me the address.
My actual address. Right. He said, oh, do you want to meet me at a train, at a metro or something? And I said, in this weather, I'm not going to metro. What am I doing? I'm just going to give him the address. I don't get no serial killer vibe from him. So I said, you know what?
Ladies, we do not recommend that you give your address to people.
I don't recommend that. But
God was blessing this whole thing.
I don't recommend any of like that. But in my gut, I knew that you were you. And I was like, here, pick me up here. And I didn't know how far it was that you lived. And I didn't know what that meant. Again, I was new to the area, relatively new. So like, I had no understanding of where you were coming from and where I was living. Like I had no clue how far you were driving to come get me. No clue.
I love how you explained the first time we saw each other in person. Share that with them.
Let me think. It's a couple things. So the rain was coming down, right? And you said you were like pulling up on the road, and I got up, I left my apartment, I went up, I went to the back, I locked the gate, da 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 da. And I feel like I may have had an umbrella in my hand. I had my little rinky-dinky umbrella, like. And then you just walked up, and it was like evening, so all you saw was like the street lights. And you just walked up. Not like Terminator, but you just walked up, like knight in shining armor, like type stuff. You just walked up, and you had this humongous umbrella, quite possibly the biggest umbrella I've ever seen in my life. You gave me a nice, polite church hug, a very polite hug. And I was like, yes, good. Not being too, you know, too familiar, but it was a very polite hug, and it was a very appropriate greeting. And I was pleased with the greeting because the greeting was appropriate. And then you just kind of put your arm around me and ushered me a little bit to like walk towards the car. And you had the umbrella over me the whole time. I don't even know what happened to my umbrella. I don't even remember. But my umbrella evaporated. Your umbrella came out, and you just held the umbrella and guided me to the car. Like mass swab, like you've been doing this all your life. Like you've been doing it all your life. And then you opened the door for me. I got in. Somehow I gracefully slid into the car seat. I gracefully got in. Nothing fell out of my hand. Nothing. In the rain, as two of us knowing how coordinated we are, and we both was like on our swab. Yeah, it was one of the most beautiful moments, and I'll never forget it because it was etched in my brain from that moment that you were going to take care of me. That you were going to take care of me, and the attention to detail. From that moment and all the moments really, when I was like, oh, okay, let's do this.
So, and we'll get to this later, because this is just part one. So we're going to come back and do this again. But one thing that established in our relationship, and I didn't realize it at the time, was, and I've never done it in previous relationships, and well, it will never happen because there will never be another relationship. But like, helping my queen into her seat. That's just a standard thing in our relationship now. Like, and people think it's weird that I'm opening doors for you, but like, maybe it's just the way I was raised, but I didn't realize that moment meant something to you. That's just what my dad told me is what you do. And I was nervous. I didn't know, like, I know how you were feeling, but I'm like, man, the least I can do getting this woman out here in the rain is to make sure that she's covered, you know, getting in the car and hold the door for her so she doesn't have to like fumble with a wet door, fumble with the things, all that. You know, come on and hop in my car. You're already like giving me, you know, access to your presence, you know, telling me where you are. And, you know, you don't know who I am. I could be outside your window the next night.
You could be Jack the Ripper.
But like, I had to honor the openness that you were given. And I think we, even still at this moment, I was still trying to keep it like a low-key first date, like not really, you know, we went to a nice place, but the exterior was more just like normal, like, and I was crazy worried, like, is this place fancy enough for a first date? We went to, and we'll shout them out, we went to Metro 29, which is on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Look it up. I'm not telling you the address, but, what really impressed me along the way is we still had the normal conversation we would have on the phone. It didn't feel crazy awkward. There was anxiety there because, like, it's the first time we're in each other's presence. I knew that I wanted this to work because, like, you were everything that I thought you were before I met you. And when we got to the place, it was raining. I said, hey, do you want me to let you out here? Because I wanted to make sure you were good. Like, do you want me to let you out here? No, please just park. I'll come with you. And I remember you didn't have your coat with you. And I was like, oh, man.
Clumsiness ensued. And, like, cardigan.
Right.
Like, fell into
it. Fell in the water, puddle. Yeah.
My cardigan fell into a puddle as I was exiting the car.
And anyone who knows me knows I don't like people touching my stuff. And something in me, before I could think it all the way through, reach in the back and pull out one of my, like, my most prized jackets and just hand it to you. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that you didn't just like, eh, like who's this weird man trying to like already put clothes on me and stuff. You were just like, thank you very much. And you walked over to the restaurant, and instead of going in, you waited for me to make sure that I parked safely and that I was in good shape to come across the parking lot. And you waited right there. Then you put your arm in mine, and then we went into the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And then acted like fools because, and here's the part that a lot of people don't know. This is the first time a lot of people are going to be hearing this story amongst our friends and family, is that that waiter had to come to our table a solid 4 times before we ordered, because the two of us were staring at each other like idiots and continuing our normal conversation pattern. We forgot to order 4 times before we did anything else. Yeah. In that moment, I was already starting to try to tell myself, there's no way you can be in love with this woman that you've only known for 40 actual minutes.
Yeah.
I almost told you at a table.
Yeah.
And I had to tell myself, yo, that's crazy talk. You got to chill.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I was actually internally trying to temper myself, because I know, like, you know, I could be like, oh my gosh, yes, everything. And so I was trying to temper myself, but also I wanted to allow myself to feel what I was really feeling in a real way and not try to reason or be so reasonable that I would talk myself out of being in the moment. And so I also know 100,000% that God was nudging me every single way. There was God in everything here. So this is the cue. If you don't believe in God, that's okay for you. But for me and mine over here, what we do, we know how we got together.
What? Right.
God, Jesus, all the things. So it was sprinkled throughout. And that's, you know, another story for another day. But there were God moments, like, in everything. Like, so, yeah, I wasn't... knowing what I know now and knowing how you know me now, and like even my cardigan just falling out of my lap and like falling into a puddle on the floor. I mean, that would have sent me into a tizzy today. Like, right. I don't like touching wet things. Like, ugh, it gives me the ick. And somehow I was like, cool as a cucumber. I can get over it. It's just wet. I'm going to put it there. It's going to dry. I'm going to forget about it. I was outside of myself.
Keep it a buck. We had the most neurodivergent first date romantic comedy movie ever.
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 Ever. And, you know, I think that, like, you started talking about Brett and Tiffany from Love is Blind. Granted, I have not seen this season. I have purposely stayed away from watching this thing because, you know, I've already seen enough happen, like, in the show in the past, and I don't really want to watch it anymore. But the daggone TikTokers will not let my For You be For You. It's literally inundated with like Brett and Tiffany, Brett and Tiffany, Brett and Tiffany. And then, of course, Kai's watching. So Kai, KP, I'm sorry, is watching.
The name out there.
So yeah, I'm sorry, babe. So my husband's watching and he's telling me like, there's this couple, blah, blah, blah. And he's whispering about it. And now like I've pieced together a little bit of their story. And you were saying that for you, it reminded you of so much of our first comings together. And of course, these people are set up there in a pod. They don't see each other, they're just talking. And that talking is like, you know, a full-time job, like hours and hours and hours of collecting data and making sense of it and going with the internal. I mean, hey, look, it's a thing. It works for a reason. And I like to think that if we were in the pod, we would have ended up exactly where we are.
Yeah, it really makes me think, because before me and you, I thought all of that stuff was nonsense. Like, there's no possible way you could. I didn't know if there were soulmates. I'd been in relationships and part of the thing with never asking someone out is that people ask you out and then you accept and then you end up in a relationship that you're not really 100% on. And I just didn't think they were soulmates. I thought they were like situations you get into where you just like agree to push through. But I was hit in the head with like a rock of like a soul rock, like God saying, hey, dummy, you've done the work. You've put yourself in a place where like you got your finances together. You got your career together. You got yourself together. And I'm not perfect. I'm still a work in progress. But what I found was someone who told me, hey, it's okay to still be building the house. Let me pick up a hammer and help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're going to do a part two. So we're only going to cover the first date in here. But the thing that got me, after a dinner that, I'll be honest, I don't remember everything that happens. I just remember the vibes. But we got back in the car. The rain had stopped. And we had an early date. It was probably about 7:30. And I remember thinking, like, as I'm pulling off, because it's about 9 o'clock now, that this date, this moment, this time, this day, it shouldn't be ending this fast. It shouldn't, and I know we have been in each other's presence for quite some time at this point, but it shouldn't be ending this fast. I shouldn't be leaving this woman. I shouldn't be dropping her off. I was trying to be respectful, but I also knew that, like, I didn't want to not be in your presence. I needed to continue to like explore us. Because when you have such a connection with somebody and then you meet them physically and the connection is somehow even stronger than the connection that we had spent the previous 4 to 5 days, 12 hours a day talking till, you know, 4 a.m. Saying I got to go to work in like 3 hours. And then talking to you again by 10 a.m. like, and I looked at you and I didn't know how it was going to go over. I didn't want to sound creepy or nothing, but I said to you, like, I'm having such a good time. I don't want this to end. Do you mind if we drive around for a while? And you just said, yeah, let's do it. And I think that's the first time we held hands. Like, we talked and drove around for another 3 hours, just enjoying each other's company. Yeah. Like, yeah, the vibes was right. The vibes was there. He was looking good. But it wasn't like some like hypersexualized, you know, experience. It was just us continuing to like build on the foundation of what will become our relationship.
Yeah.
And to me, that was amazing because I wasn't looking. I mean, keep it a buck. Everybody is looking for someone they're attracted to. But I started off looking for a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And we've traveled now all over the world. We've been in some testy situations. We've been in some, like, you know, we in the airport for 13 hours and I'm tired of your face, but that's my best friend. That's my best friend. And all those things where they say you have to work at love, that's true. You have to work at marriage, that's true. All of those things, but what they don't tell you, like, because I remember used to hear in school with our we had a family life class, and the professor or the teacher would always say, like, there's more than one type of love, and there's the passionate love, and then there's the like familial love where you have to like lean on that in the days when you're not like passionately in love with the person. But what they never tell you is that only works if that person matters as much to you as yourself. And that's what we were building.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, I knew that it was worth me messaging you on the app, even though I remember reading, like, he might want a friend, he might want companionship, but that's okay. I'm still curious. Like, I was curious. I was curious, and I loved your profile. I loved what you had to say. I loved how you wrote about yourself. I love, like, I was just very, like, very, very, very curious. But yeah, I think that sometimes you have to at least in, you know, my life experience, sometimes you get knocked down so bad and knocked down so far and so low that your like next big best thing is so close. It's like right behind the door. And then your life changes in like an instant, which is why I think like the whole premise of the show that, you know, stood out to me way back when from season one, because I was like, these people are meeting in pods and they don't see each other and they can just really be authentically themselves and be vulnerable and be open. And so, yeah, the more I see and hear the little bits that I'm hearing about this couple, who like, I wish them the best. I wish them all the best. I know we wish them all the best and sending them all the good and all the security for their marriage and their relationship. Because being public and being on the internet and being on a TV show is always going to be people with lots of opinions. So I just sending them all that good stuff. But yeah, like when in my experience, you're like stripped down to nothing, you can only go up. There's only up. You're not going to go any more further. So I really felt like I had nothing to lose by communicating with you and by being open and going with the flow and listening to the little voice that told me, send him a message, give him your number, or oh, give him your address, tell him where you live. Me? Tell a stranger where I live? No. Like, no. That would never happen. In what life did that happen? But I immediately just felt like, nah, we good. Like, I know who you are. Like, my spirit knew who you were. Like, my soul immediately knew you.
So I want to stop you there, because we're gonna give them a part two, and I don't want to give them too much, but I want to leave them with this. When you got home, you made a phone call and said what?
You mean to my homegirl?
Mm.
Oh, I said I met my husband.
There it is. That's your tagline. You have to come back for part two. All right. You get part two in like, what do you say, two weeks?
We'll give them part two when we're ready to drop it upon them.
We're gonna drop it upon yeah.
Yeah, and we'll keep talking about the show, or let me redact that, not the show, because I don't want to be engaged in all that foolery, but the people then, these two people.
Yeah. Shout out to Brett and Tiffany. We're rooting for you.
Rooting for you.
All right, until next time, people. Part two coming soon. Part two. One.